I thought there was a guy who was going to jump on and say, hey, it's a home improvement show. But I was wrong. Hey, it's a home improvement show. I'll take care of it. 9:06. Good morning. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. We're here for the full hour. Call now if you need some expert advice on any kind of project around the house or an issue. 514-790-0800. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, but everything went wrong. From the downtown exit being closed to now I was having some technical trouble with my headphone, but it seems to be all resolved now.
There's always something. There's always something. Yeah, we were just talking about that off the air because a big chunk of the Ville Marie, the 136, is off limits eastbound today. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, depending on where you're coming from, you're forced off and you have to take the long way around.
Well, they usually follow me wherever I'm going. They do their road closures for some reason.
A truck follows you around with those orange cones.
Before starting off, Ken, I would like to wish a great happy birthday to my stepdaughter, Jessica.
Ah.
And a fast recovery. I mean, unfortunately, she's spending her birthday in the hospital now. But she's going to get better, hopefully, very soon.
Good.
And we'll celebrate and we'll have a big celebration. So happy birthday.
Are we allowed to say how old Jessica is?
Jessica's turning 10 today.
Oh, what a great age.
Yeah.
What a wonderful age. All right, Jessica. All the best to you. Get well soon and happy birthday to be 10 again. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter, get some free advice from Walter. He's here for the full hour. I was talking to a gentleman from a pepiniere earlier this morning. It's a big planting weekend, right, mm-hmm. for the gardening. It's traditionally this weekend in May. Everyone's all the pepiniers are going to be a little extra busy. You know, I was going to mention, I watched one of these on the Home and Garden television the other night. We were dialing around, and there's one of these shows where they take an old home, and they renovate it, and they sell for a lot of money. And this particular show I was watching, you know, they're always looking for a twist to this, you know, buying a house and improving it and flipping it. And so in this particular show, I forget the title of the show, but all the homes were from hoarders who like just collected, mm-hmm. you know, everything, you know, and packed the house, you know, so it's like it's a disaster. And so they clean it out and they redo it. But it's kind of fun just to see the, you know, the before and after and the difference just some creativity can make. You know, it's a wonderful, like new flooring and new kitchen cabinets and what have you. And they're fun. They're addictive to watch.
It is, a matter of fact. What may be surprising is that a lot of these hoarders, you know, have homes in very nice areas, and a lot of them that I've met through my life in contracting have good jobs.
Yeah.
It have nothing to do with, you know, their social status. It's just something that, you know,
they can't throw anything out.
They can't stop.
Yeah, yeah. My wife might say I'm a bit of a hoarder when you go into our basement. I have trouble throwing things out that I've had for many, many years. 909-514-790-0800. We're going to say hi to James, who's on the phone, speaking of floors. Hi, James.
Yes, hi.
Where are you calling from?
NDG.
NDG. And you want to talk about hardwood flooring?
Yeah, I have an old house in NDG, and I guess my kitchen floor has been, the flooring's been kind of patched up over the years, so it's kind of three different sizes of hardwood flooring in the kitchen, and I guess that made it so that the flooring really was, might have been loose at one point, so every once in a while they had hammered in the joints, like those old flat nails mm-hmm. in the joints to keep the boards down, I guess, and those nails, like, you know, they keep coming up, and they keep hammering them back, they keep coming up and back. I'm wondering, I can't even get them out. They're so tight inside that I can't even get them out. So I'm wondering if there's a solution for that, first of all. That was my first question. And then my second question was, if I decide to change this floor, it's running under all the cabinets. Do I have to tear out, do I really have to gut the kitchen to change the floor? Or can that be changed without taking out all the cabinets, which are kind of new? They don't really need to be changed.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Now, the issue is, and I know exactly if you're in the home, types of homes that I'm thinking you are, the issue was mostly that these subfloors were made out of planks, wood planks. And in those times, they used to nail them down. So underneath the subfloor, if you take out the hardwood floor, if you take out one board, you will see, those horizontal planks, or sometimes they install them on diagonal. And if you look very closely, you see that they are nailed in, and with time they start popping out because the nail gets loose and then they start popping out. So in other words, your real problem is not the hardwood, because the hardwood is usually stapled. Your real problem is the board itself that is lifting from underneath. So what you would need to do is to find a way to get down there. So either by screwing down, unfortunately, you can't take out the floorboards and fix it. That would have been the ideal thing. So either by going through the floorboard, if it have nails in it, it can have screws and have something long enough that you can actually get the floor joist down there so you can re-screw back the floorboard into the floor joist. Or else you're going to be fighting a losing battle for a long, long time. Okay. Having said that, when changing the hardwood floors in the kitchen, obviously when you take out everything, when you remove it, you want to make sure you do the floor prep properly. And that's one step that a lot of contractors and sometimes do-it-yourselfers kind of ignore. Make sure to re-screw all the floorboards adequately. Spend the time on the subfloor because that's what's going to protect your investment, really. Whatever you do up there, how many staples you put, doesn't really matter in the hardwood floor. If your subfloor is not strong enough and it's bouncy, you're going to have a very hard time with that new floor, and it's going to hurt a lot more because now you've invested all this money for nothing. So re-screw the floorboards in the floor joists. Spend the time required. If there's any repairs, sometimes there's rot to them, there's issues, cut them out, put some new plywood, ensure it's on the same height and level, okay? And then start the installation process. Now, if you don't want to remove the hardwood floors, the cabinets, you want to make sure that you do a test before. The new height of the hardwood floors are not going to be higher than your dishwasher, because that's in essence where you're going to get in trouble. So if you are okay height-wise and then the dishwasher can still be slided out, that's fine. The only trick that I will see is that you want to try to go in parallel with the cabinets if you have a galley kitchen, so it doesn't look funny, because you want to kind of stagger them when it comes to installing hardwood floors. It is doable. I'm a very big fan of taking it out and putting it back and making it right, but it is very doable, especially with hardwood. You know, it's kind of easier than ceramic. The only thing is that the finishing around is not going to be great because of all the edges. So you have to cut around and so on and so forth, unless, again, you run in parallel with the floor.
Right.
So if you can take them out, that will be great. If you can, just make sure that you do nice finishing around the edges.
Thank you so much.
Is that good, James?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the call and good luck with the project. 514-790-0800. Someone texted in for Squeaky Floors is a product called Squeak No More. Have you heard of this?
I have not, but I'm really curious to see how that thing works.
Squeak No More. Says there's even an episode of The Old House that explains this from David. David, thank you for that.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
922 on the nose. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. We've got Walter Assey from Renovco here for the full hour. If you want to call and get some free advice, many, many years of experience in the home renovation business, I'm sure he can handle anything you throw at him at 514-790-0800. Like Mary out in Roxborough. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
You're on the radio with Walter. You want to talk to him about your oil furnace, right?
Yes, I'm just looking for a little advice on what's the best way to go. It's an oil-fired hot water system. Heats upstairs and downstairs. I don't know whether we should go to a fully electric furnace or keep the oil as long as we can and maybe have heat pumps or something that would, reduce the amount of oil we'd use.
So, you don't need to replace your oil tank until it requires major repairs. So that's kind of the good news in this. There've been a lot of discussion back and forth. Things were not clear. And it is a major investment for a lot of people. So they didn't give enough. I don't find that they gave enough time for people to budget for that. It is a bit of an overkill because I don't think it's really the major cause of pollution. There are a lot more important pollutants out there. Having said that, if you add a heat pump, you will be eligible to the dual energy program with Hydro-Québec, which will save you a lot of money. And at the same time, the newer heat pumps can go down up to minus 30, which is amazing, really, because that means your heat pump is kicking in most of the time in the winter. And that's a way for you to go for sure. Okay, as far as the oil tank is concerned, if it's still in good shape and it's not old and you don't forecast any problems, well, you can keep it as long as you can keep it. But be careful, because there are other components. It's not just the oil furnace. Then you're going to have to look at the oil tank. There is an age limit for the H tank for the oil tank as per insurance companies. So if that's going to come to expiry soon, then you might start thinking about not spending any more major cost on the oil tank and just swapping it out just for a different type of furnace, whether it's propane or natural gas, depending on what you have. Always try to go with dual energy. That's usually the best way to go.
Dual energy. I was wondering, is it possible to go to the heat pumps with the when you have no ductwork? We have no ductwork, eh? It's a hot water radiators.
No, you wouldn't be able to do that, because what happens is, it's hot water radiator. Is that what you just said?
It's a hot water system.
Okay. No, you can have. That's again. We're not talking about the same thing. You can have split systems. Yes, they're not going to be connected to your furnace. Obviously, they're going to be independent. And you can have systems with three heads, four heads, that will go through different parts of the house. Usually they're placed strategically to heat or cool the house. You can have them, so it's a heat pump and an air conditioning at the same time. The only thing is, you will not be eligible for the buy energy by doing so. Because
you're not, exactly.
So, it is a very practical system. You are using electric as well. It's a bit less efficient because you are installing usually these things up there in the ceiling. So for heating, they're not that great. We always recommend installing fans to help the hot air coming down. But they are a solution for you to have a bit more comfort and not to be completely reliant on one source of energy.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, Mary.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. 514-790-0800. You can grab a line now to talk to Walter. I have something from the text line for you, Walter. It says, good morning, guys. Curious, I do not have issues with my French drain, but do I need to get it checked? My house was built in 72. My sump pump has never come on. Just curious. That's from Mike on the South Shore.
You know what? The good news for you that it's in the 70s, less terracotta was used. Because before that, they used to use those terracotta French drains, which with time would collapse and cause all kinds of problems. Having said that, it's not a bad thing to be preemptive on checking. I'm a big proponent of that. But the idea is how and where you're going to check. Usually when you install the new French drains or the newer systems, they have those chimneys that go up from different areas of the home, so you can easily put down a camera and check your French drains. If you have that, it's going to be great. It's going to be easy. It's going to cost you a few $100 and you're going to know what you're going to know. Look at your basement. I mean, the basement usually tells the whole story. Is it damp? Do you see any efflorescence on the cement? Do you see any, do you smell dampness, musty smells, mold, anything of that nature?
What did you say to look for on the cement? Sorry?
Efflorescence.
Efflorescence.
So these are the things that are indicative of something that is not quite right. If you don't have any of this, you know... chances are you have a good operating French system, French drain system, I should say. The other thing is you want to look at your sump pump pit. There's a trick for that. Sometimes we go to some homes and the homeowners are very proud of the fact that their sump pump never goes on. Mm-hmm. We look at the pit. The pit is dry. They're very happy that their pit is dry. But that's usually bad news. That means your French drain is not working. It's not bringing the water to the sump pump. So that's another way to know if it's operating well. So when you have the spring saw, how much water is coming in. If you see that the good amount of fair amount of water coming in as usual, depending on, you know, how long you've been living in the house and there's no changes in the flow, that's usually good news as well. So there are telltale signs that you don't have to necessarily spend the money to have it checked out. Preemptively, if you want to have a peace of mind, I mean, by all means, you're going to have to fork out a few $100 for the inspection, though.
Could be worse.
It could be worse, 100%. I mean, yes and no. So if you look at Westmount, most homes in Westmount, the older homes, do not even have French drains. So it's, you know, I'm not saying it's overrated. It's great to have it. But sometimes just a matter of sloping your landscape properly will avoid you more problems than anything.
Yeah. Jan was always a big proponent of, you know, making sure, you know, your landscaping was up to snuff, because it can cause problems.
That's right. I mean, in a lot of cases, we go to homes and we see everything is done right, but then you have gutter extensions right at the foundation or like 1 foot away from the foundation. The code is very simple. It's 5 feet plus. So, again, it's just a question of common sense, really.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Yeah, we have a severe thunderstorm watch for the Montreal region that's in effect. That was just issued by Environment Canada not too long ago. So 24 at the moment, and it feels like 30 already with the humidity. Looking at a high today of 30, so going to get really, really hot. So we'll keep an eye on that forecast for you throughout the morning. At 9:36, we'll go right back to the phone with Walter Assey from Renovco here in the studio to answer your calls. George is dialed in from Bay Durfee. Hi, George.
Hey, Walter.
Hi, Walter. Good morning.
I have a question about, I'm about to replace my French drain. My French drain drains into the sump pump, and the sump pump pumps it out in a ditch. I live on a hill, which is quite high. And I'm just wondering, when I replace my French drain, instead of the water coming into my sump pump, can I just make the water go directly into the ditch so I can bypass my sump pump?
You're in Bay Durfee, right?
Yes.
So how do you recommend to do that? There's...
Well, my French drains would be higher elevation than my ditch.
Okay. So you want to just... But where are you going to put the pump? How are you going to pump it out?
Well,
you're
going
to do it by gravity? You're just going to...
By gravity.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it is a way. You have the other issue you're going to have, I mean, is the... you're still going to need the sump pump, because usually if you're closer to the water in Bay Durfee, you have a high water table. So you also want to prevent that. And the sump pump is going to help with that. So you know, it's done, but you're creating. I find you're going to be creating a lot more work than anything. You can try it, but I've never seen it so much being done in Bay Durfee per se.
Okay, because the sump pump would be evacuating water underneath my slab.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But the French drains would be draining water like at the footing, right?
Yes. So when you exactly, but when you do that, since you're on a hill, that's easier to do. In a regular home, we won't even consider that, because I don't see how you can do it. Having said that, when you're doing that, make sure that they don't make any mistakes when they're doing the slopage, because any banana effect, anything that's going up and down, anything that is not done right, I mean, your whole system is just gonna back up, and you're going to have a hell of a time trying to figure it out. So it is intrusive. You have to do a trench the whole way. And that's where you have make sure that you have enough gravel bedding, and you have enough gravel on top to kind of filter down the water, also not to clog the system up. That's a common mistake we see. They don't put enough gravel. You know, sometimes they just run out of gravel and they're too lazy to ask for another truck. So that's where you have to be very hands-on into looking how much gravel they're putting as a bedding and on top, and, you know, that they're usually, that they're adequately leveling your pipe as well. You want to have it on a continuous downward slope. If not, you can have it always coming to your sump pump pit. Just ensure that you have backup pits, backup sump pumps, I should say. And the battery-powered ones are great, especially for power outages. And what you do is you set your emergency one a bit higher than the main one. So if you have a big downpour, then both systems can kick in if one is not strong enough. You know, and especially as well in extreme weather storms, usually we have power failures. So that will be a good way for you to kind of sleep at night while having that.
Oh, great, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Avoid the water gravity one. There's a pump that is emergency pump that is used because it doesn't pump as much water. So the battery powered pump usually is better, especially in big downpours, which is really when you're going to need it the most.
Great, thank you.
All right, George. All right, George. Thank you for that. Good luck. Thanks for the call. It's a 941-514-790-0800. I was mentioning moldings earlier when I was telling you about that home improvement show that I watched on TV the other night. We have a text here. How expensive an endeavor is to add moldings to your house?
You know what? It's not that expensive. And, you know, it's something that you can have almost an immediate makeover to your home just by adding it. A lot of the contractor homes, they come with these very short, flimsy, cheap-looking moldings. Just by giving the proper skirting, proper OGs, it changes the whole look of a room. It's something that is, I find, underrated, and most people don't look at it, but that's probably going to be the first thing that I would look at if I'm doing a conversion or a redesign of room. It's, you know, all the woodwork that I can add to it to bring life to it and to give a bit more richness to the room.
The other thing that I noticed in this show, which looks like a great idea, I just don't know how difficult it is they made a couple of accent walls, you know, like just some walls kind of just to stand out, add a little bit of character. And what they did was they went out and got a lot of stone from out in the woods, whatever, and they just sort of placed it all on the wall, and a really nice accent wall in the kitchen, and just added a lot of a charm to the room.
It's a question of adding textures and colors. Sometimes we don't need, you know, a great designer does not fetch the most expensive materials necessarily to make a room look good. In the contrary, it's just the creativity of what you put in there. And just by adding sometimes wallpaper, which is back, by the way, now. And, you know, it is.
Why, it comes in phases?
It died for the longest time, for like at least 20 years. We didn't hear about it. And then as for accent walls, I'm not talking for whole rooms. You know, changing a chimney mantle, changing the bricks around the chimney, painting sometimes just the bricks around the chimney. There's a lot of things you could do without going very dramatic. In the design process. So, it's a hobby of mine, actually. I that's what I like to do. I love to go to ugly places and just transform them and you know, do a lot of creativity every time and then change things around. Looking at spaces that do not make sense and trying to make sense out of them. That's a challenge, right? Smaller kitchens, bungalows that, example, bungalows are a great thing to have because of the how practical it's, everything is on one floor and what have you. But most of the time, bungalows are built very small. So just getting a bungalow and building out an extension in the back and blowing it in size and just catering to what is missing will make it the most amazing looking house there is. I've done that, and that's where I've had much of the successes is when we expanded one floor bungalows. We added cathedral ceilings in the back, some dramatic angles, and it's unbelievable what you could do to a space. So there, especially when we're lucky here, we have land with our homes most of the time. So there's a lot that you could do to make your house beautiful. Just you have to have a bit of imagination and creativity and guts. It needs guts as well, that's for sure.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
That's right.
All right.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
You can call right now and grab a line at 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Minovco is here. Do you recommend painting over floors in order just to give them a fresher look?
Depending what type of floors.
Yeah.
Cement, great. Epoxy, you could do a lot with. There's a lot of new products out there. But, I mean, you're not going to paint over ceramic floors or, you know, wood floors. You can stain. You could do whatever you want with that. But, I mean, really, no matter what you do, do not paint over that. Vinyl, you don't want to do that either because it's a smooth surface and paint would not adhere adequately to it. So,
Leonard, there's your answer. I guess Leonard from Dorval was asking that on the text line at 514-800. What about improving or freshening up parquet?
Yeah, I mean, again, sanding and varnishing will definitely do that for you. You can also take advantage while you're doing that of adding a stain, changing the colors if you want to freshen up and go with a different look. There's many, many different stains. You can go from the gray tones to the white tones, depending on your decoration. And usually when you do that with parquet, you kind of bring it a bit up to date without having to change the floors. Because, I mean, parquet is kind of not in style anymore. So the trick is by using a stain, you can really bring it up to today's standards.
All right. 514-790-0800 here on the Home Improvement Show. Don't forget, Lisa's on the way coming up at the top of the hour right after the news. Kartik is on the line with a question. Hi, Kartik.
Hi. I was calling about some masonry issues that we're having at our home. So we have front steps that are basically cement.
Mm-hmm.
And there is limestone brick on either side of the steps, and there are basically small gaps forming between the, you know, the brick pattern and the steps. And then also on top, there is a stone. The final step is basically stone, and there's some cement under it that's crumbling. And I don't know, what is the right way of kind of fixing this? We got someone to come by and have a look, and he said everything needs to be gutted, but that seems a bit extreme. Hmm. Is there like a simple fix to this?
I mean, the easy answer will be to simply gut everything, and that I'm not in agreement with that. There's always a way, unless something was originally built with a mistake that you cannot correct. From the sound of it, you have many things going on at the same time. You're saying that the stone is between the stone and your landing, there's a gap that is getting larger. Is that what I understand?
The landing is, surfaced with stone. And then right below that, there's some cement that's crumbling. It's like the last step, if you will. And that's crumbling a little bit. So I thought it would just be a matter of, like, patching up the cement a little bit to kind of just make sure that... So the final, you know, landing, there is some stone that is actually falling down onto the step because the cement underneath is crumbling. But it's just the final step. All the other steps, the cement is good. So oddly enough, there's no mason who wants to take on this task for whatever reason because, some of them say that they work on stone or they work on cement, but they don't do both. Or some people just work on brick. So it's kind of that's been the issue. I don't know if that's, what do you think? Is that actually the case?
It is actually the case. Masons are not, they don't like to, it's two different specialties to begin
right.
with. Now, the other thing is do not use the word patching when you're speaking to the cement guys because nobody would want to come and do the job for you. In our temperature, cement patching simply does not work.
Uh-huh.
So, you could do it yourself and you will see that every year you will have to redo it. It's going to crumble again and again and again.
Right.
If you're lucky, you might buy yourself a couple of years, but that's very rare. Because we have extreme temperatures. We have, the plus 30, the minus 30, and so on and so forth, and whatever comes in between ice and freezing rain, and so on and so forth. So
that's
you want
right.
to be very careful with that. You want to chisel out as much as you can, go down to the bare basics of the cement step, and then re-pour it, and that will be the adequate way to have a permanent repair.
Right.
Okay. Anything less than that, you're not going to get a permanent solution. Having said that, the other thing that I, and again, if I, and I'm visually, probably it's not clear to me. You're saying that you have pavillion knee on the landing and the landing is touching the bricks of your home. Am I correct?
Yeah. So the landing also does, well, yeah, the landing goes all the way to the bricks of the home as well. But that, okay. that, you know, to that point, it's actually fine. It's more just the stone and landing near the steps itself.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this is because with time that might not be fine. This could create you an issue, especially if the weeping holes on the bricks have been blocked. And that is a common mistake we find. Landscapers are not bricklayers. So, you know, when they're doing their job in landscaping, a lot of them do not care about the stones and, you know, and then they get asked to put pavillion knee on the landing and they do that. And then all of a sudden they're blocking all the weeping holes in
right.
the brick.
Yeah.
And then you're trapping all the humidity in the trip and the brick, and then you have brick deterioration. Nobody understands why. So that, if you know, just keep an eye on that. Just make sure that that was adequately done. The other situation we find, and when you do that, a lot of times you become the pavillion knee becomes flush with the front door a bit higher, and then with time you're gonna find that my wood is rotten, and then I'm having carpenter ants and so on and so forth. So again, when you do that, it's great. It looks nice, but make sure that your front door have a step up from the pavillion, not the other way around. You don't want to have a step down, and you don't want it to be too flush either.
Hmm. Right. Got it.
How's that, Kartik?
All right. That sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck with that. Thanks for the call. Thanks for calling the show. I'm going to sneak one in here, one more from the text line, Walter, before we have to go. The drain cover on my garage floor is rusty and ready to crack. I can't find replacement lids at any of the hardware stores. Any ideas where I could find a replacement lid, preferably plastic? That is from Lena.
Yes, you might be lucky to have some. Givesco should have some. Next show, I will also look up another supplier that I could give you the name. But
can you spell Givesco for us?
Givesco.
Givesco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If not, next week I'll try to also find other names for her and give it to her. Right. That kit that was mentioned before, the squeaky kit about the floor or the product.
Squeak No More.
Squeak No More, yeah. It's not really a product. I looked it up. It's just a kit. So it gives you the screws and the nails and everything else. So technically, I mean, you don't need to buy it. Just go to the hardware store and do it yourself and save some money.
I'd like to get it for this little toy that we have it for the dog that's always squeaking and driving me crazy.
Yeah. No, but I mean, honestly, I was actually very intrigued when I said, like, there's a product out there, so there's something that they know that I don't know, but it's an actual kit.
All right. Walter, thank you for a great hour.
My pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.
Walter Ansi from Renovco. He's back next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on the Home Improvement Show. Lisa's ready to go with more calls and questions on the car show. Don't go anywhere. Leave it right here. Muse is standing by in a couple of minutes on CJAD 800.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are provided for information purposes only and are not necessarily those of CJAD 800 or Bell Media. The opinions do not constitute professional advice. Please contact your own renovation expert directly before making any decisions.